Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It was an amazing 4 years. We did so much in terms of foreign policy, in terms of our nation. Look, when I left, gasoline was $1.87. That was a year ago. And now it's, I guess, just hit $7.50 in California, the rest to follow. And I predicted this. I said all of these things were going to happen. You look at the economy, you look at the horror show of what happened with the bad withdrawal. And I was all set up to withdraw with dignity and tremendous strength. Nobody was going to be killed. We weren't leaving $85 billion behind. We weren't leaving 10 cents behind. I said every bolt, every screw, every nail comes out. And all of these things, it was a beautiful period.
So there you have President Trump stopping there in the middle of a sentence with Mark Levin. That's who he was speaking with last night, talking about the way he left his presidency. How many times have we heard experts, whether it's financial experts, whether it's COVID experts, whether it's foreign policy experts, whether it's border security experts, over and over and over and over again, these people say, what did this president, what did the Biden administration need to do when they came in? Nothing. If President Biden would have just done nothing, we'd be in an infinitely better situation now than we are with all of the Biden policies. I mean, Brad, can you think of a single thing that President Biden has come in, changed the policy of, or left alone that seems to be doing better right now than it was when he took office in this January? A reminder, folks, it's been 10 months.
A single thing that's doing better now than it was when
What's better now that President Biden?
Virginia.
Republican chances in elections. That's a good one. That's a good choice. I mean, other than that, I mean, in all seriousness,
I can't.
A fantastic and correct answer, but it's kind of to the point, right?
Yeah. I can't think of anything that he has made better. And that's kind of like one of the things, right? We want the president to do good because when the president does well, we do well. It helps us. So we're not out here rooting against him, but man, he's not doing a good job, and that hurts us, and that's why we're saying what we say.
I am so just interested in, like, you know, popcorn gif. Yes, I said gif, not gif. Popcorn gif, where I digress. But these popcorn gifs, the show, the Michael Jackson one with the mouth, like he's his mouth couldn't be more open when he's eating that popcorn. And you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know which
Isn't
one you're
it
talking
from
about.
Thriller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from the music video of Thriller.
And he's like, I'm like, could you just maybe chew with your mouth closed?
I like the one with, and I can't even say his name, Richard Adefoye, I think is his name, where he
no
picks,
idea
he picks a
about.
Drink up and sets it on the table and's like, okay, go.
Yes, like here we are. I'm watching with bated breath nearly. You would think upon the 2020 election, you would think upon the way news is covered in this country. You would think upon the way in your social circles, who, what side of the aisle really feels emboldened to speak out about their said politics and which side generally is like, I'm just going to be quiet. Like the less you say in a political conversation, the more I think you're conservative, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh, I said right. I hate when people say right. I am watching the Biden administration, Nancy Pelosi's House, Chuck Schumer's / Kamala Harris's Senate, Kamala Harris just in general, my gosh, and President Biden, who needs to be shuffled around from podium to podium, pointed in the right direction, and has to squint so much because he can't see what's on the teleprompter. They're getting their way. The stuff that's happening right now is not bad. It's what they wanted. This is what they campaigned on. And actually, it's just the start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the top of the first of a baseball game that is going to go the distance. That we have not even had him as the president for a year. I don't see how he's going to actually last a term. Yes, I know. We could do a whole hour on, can you believe that Biden said yesterday he's going to run for, he has to say he's running for re-election. If he comes out and says, well, yeah, I intend to run for re-election, well, duh.
Yeah, if he says if he doesn't run for re-election, if he comes out and says, I'm not going to run again, nobody's going to listen to him.
Nobody's listening to him really right now as it is. It's his words. If I don't do this, I'm going to be in trouble. I was told that I need to go here. They said that I need to do this. Those are his words. The president on a regular basis indicates that he, as the president of the United States, is being handled and being told and being directed around every corner. This is where you go. This is what you say. This is what you do. Now, I'm not going to be Pollyannish about this. I understand that the leader of the free world has a lot on their plate and is surrounded by people who are aiding in making sure that all of the balls that are being juggled at one time remain in the air. But he's talking about being positioned, and he freely speaks that way. He commands nothing with his presence.
Phrases like, they gave me a list of people to call on here.
Yes. And saying this openly, if he is to come out and say, well, you know, I don't think that I'll be running for another term, he should just hang it up right now. He's not going to run for another term. He can't not say that. It's really that simple. Like to hear what Jim Carafano thinks about that. Jim Carafano is our leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage Foundation. Jim, we're just talking a little bit about how everything that this Biden administration has touched since they've taken office, the only thing that has gotten better in this amount of time, to my producer Brad's credit here, is Virginia, is what he said. He says he is going to run for re-election. Does a world leader have to say that in order to continue to command whatever level of respect that he has?
No, actually, I think it's a great sign of weakness. I mean, when you see these articles coming out about, you know, well, you know, should we push Buttigieg, or, you know, can Harris, can her reputation be reclaimed? For the president to come out and say this, it is a great sign of weakness. I mean, there's no sane person would argue that a president in the first of his 8 months of his administration has to run out and say, don't worry, I'm going to run for re-election. And that's a good thing. I mean, nobody believes that. This is an administration that's in crisis. I don't think there's any question about that. And the bad news is, you know, they keep saying, you know, like the captain of the Titanic, you know, if I can just get my big bill passed, you know, everything's going to be fine. But the reality is the infrastructure bill, which is already passed, is going to make things worse. It's not going to deliver any kind of economic boost. The other bill, if it passes, it's just going to be more divisive politically. It isn't going to make anything better. It's just going to fuel inflation. And the notion that somehow if we just get these two bills passed in a year's time, everybody's going to see how wonderful we are. And the reality is no, everything's going to be worse. So there doesn't seem to be an exit strategy from a presidency that's in spiral. And, you know, I don't say that. Well, first of all, I'm not political because I don't even belong to a political party. You know, I don't say that in a partisan way. It's just that's the reality, I think, in the way everybody that is an analyst of this administration sees it, whether they're a friend or foe of the administration.
Jim Carafano with us right now with Heritage Foundation. You know, there's an inflation crisis, supply crisis, hiring crisis, border crisis, immigration crisis, and education crisis. The left would have you believe that we have a racial crisis. They tell you we have a climate change crisis. But in the meantime, we have a question about Putin and Russia and Ukraine. We have President Xi and China and Taiwan, which could materialize to an actual conflict crisis that America will have to weigh in on if it materializes here in the near future. You said that this is an administration in crisis, a spiral, I think is the word you used. How do we stay ahead of all of these crashing crises that we find ourselves in the middle of when the administration seems hapless in the midst of it?
Well, you know, we don't. And it really depends a lot on how our adversaries choose to interpret it and how really sophisticated they are. Because on the one hand, I think they look at Biden and they sense intensive weakness and real opportunity. But on the other hand, they look at things like what happened in Virginia and they look at the underlying fundamentals of the U.S. economy and U.S. economic power and go, you know, this is a sleeping giant that you don't really want to rouse to anger. And so an astute enemy would say, how do I take advantage of this but not overplay my hand? And so I think it's less likely that they're thinking about, well, let's just go for it, you know, and seize Taiwan or whatever. And it's more likely that let's pick up some chips on the table while they're easy getting. I think we can expect that from the Iranians, from the Russians, and from the Chinese, and we see every sign that they're doing that. You know, there's probably six or seven ongoing problems or challenges and crises in Europe, and they're all fueled by the Russians, and they're all simultaneously going on. And Putin literally has his choice of what do I want to make worse today. The Chinese, of course, are unrestrained. Look, I mean, what country in their right mind on the eve of the Olympics, when an entire spotlight's going to be on their whole country, would actually watch this crisis with the Chinese tennis star spiral out of control and then just kind of manufacture it's not a problem here? I mean, who would risk that except a country like China, which absolutely believes that they're untouchable? The Iranians have been incredibly aggressive. And all the Biden administration has done is he's actually warned the Israelis, don't pick on the Iranians. So I think they all sense weakness. The question is how much do they really want to exploit that?
Yeah. And I guess we sit and we watch and we wait. I want to give you the opportunity before we let you go, because we're running out of time here. Speaking with Heritage Foundation's Jim Carafano, one of our favorite guests that we have on at any time. Thanksgiving is upon us. It is just a couple days away. We talk about a lot of bleak situations with you here lately. What do you think that Americans at this point in time have to be thankful for?
Well, I do. I think a lot. You know, I just want to say, from my own personal perspective, what I'm thankful, and I really mean this in a very sincere way, I am thankful for you guys. You know, I do a lot of talk radio. I think it is a gift to America that we have a sphere where people can have honest, long conversations about serious issues and think for themselves. And people like you that do this as a profession, it is a service to the country. I think you're all amazing. I think you're all really God's gift to America. And I just really do appreciate what you guys do, and I'm thankful for it. And the country is lucky to have people like you.
Boy, I'm glad I asked that question. I'm blushing. Jim.
No, I'm super serious about that. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
So you guys have a great holiday.
You too, Jim. We are thankful for you. We'll talk to you again soon. Jim Carafano, the leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage Foundation. I did not know he was going to say that. And honestly, if I would have known, I probably would have been too embarrassed to ask it. It was very kind of him. There is a lot of good to be thankful for. There are a lot of things right now that we can look past. President Biden's going to be speaking on the economic crisis that our country is facing. I could air that. I'm not going to. If there are highlights, can there be highlights from a speech about an economic crisis?
Define highlights.
Low lights. We will see. We will see if he makes any news in this speech that he is going to give, because we want to focus on. I just want to try to brighten your day and not bring it down. I'm making that choice today. If you want to read the crap and the muck, you can find it. I know you know where to get it. That's part of what we're going to do next is we're going to talk with Gina Birkmeyer, who is a licensed professional counselor and author. And we're going to talk to Gina about the holidays, about moving through Thanksgiving and, of course, Christmas as it is upon us, and doing it in like such an incredibly divisive time. Gina is going to be with us here right when we come back. And I would love, love, love if you would join us on our live stream on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go subscribe to the channel there, the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, and listen to what Gina is talking about and tell me if you have any stories anecdotally that kind of fill in about what we're talking about, because we're going to discuss this when we get the whole crew in here, because this is a fun show today. Because today's my Friday, and I'm sharing that with you. So stick around. We're going to speak with licensed professional counselor and author Gina Birkmeyer when we come back. Don't go away.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe. So let's go there.
Let's make our escape. Birdie made you. So I had never heard this Johnny Cash song before. Have you ever heard this before?
No.
I just want to sit with Johnny for a minute, you know?
I love it.
Yes. It's so pure. I think it's called the Thanksgiving song. I'll find it and I'll link it up, because boy, this is just, it's warm in your heart, isn't it? Well, it's Thanksgiving week, and some of you have had some Thanksgiving dinners already. We have had one with my husband's side of the family, and we will have my side of the family's Thanksgiving with my in-laws as well, because they didn't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving. You get into the blended, you know, once you've put the families together, it becomes complicated, and I just start basically, I'm like, if you're related to me, or if you have nowhere to go, come eat at my house. This is kind of the way it's developed.
That's what we do. I had friends that were stationed at Scott Air Force Base, mm-hmm. whose family was in California, that they could never go home for Thanksgiving. And so it's like, well, just come over to our house.
Yeah, don't sit by yourself. So I was connected with our next guest, who is a licensed professional counselor and author. She has a book, and it's called Generations Deep, Unmasking Inherited Dysfunction and Trauma to Rewrite Our Stories Through Faith and Therapy. Mouthful, yes. But we're going to talk a little bit about how to move through and navigate family holiday gatherings when the person sitting across the table from you might not subscribe to the exact same political beliefs you have. And maybe sometimes they're a loudmouth about it. Or maybe sometimes you're the loudmouth about it and you're the one who starts it. You know who you are. You know you're out there. And before we bring her on here, I want to say that if you listen to the show for long enough, you know that I talk about the Thanksgiving table Democrats. That's what I always call them. Because I'm a Republican, because I subscribe to conservative values. When you sit down at your Thanksgiving table, and I would venture a guess that at least 9 out of 10 of those tables have people of diverse political backgrounds, that when you sit down at that Thanksgiving dinner table with those people who you love, that's why they're there. Even if it's complicated, you still love them. You care more about those people than you care about their politics. That's way different than the news slash entertainment industry that is out there shouting politics and working hard to divide you at all times. So we're going to talk now with Gina, and we are going to talk to her about how to get along with those Thanksgiving table Democrats, or yes, in fact, the Thanksgiving table Republicans. Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show. It is a pleasure to have you here. And I think this is one of the most important topics we're going to talk about this week.
Well, thanks, Annie. It's really great to be with all of you today.
So your advice, when you are prepping people who are going to go be with family, there's going to be a diverse thought group there sitting at that table, sharing the turkey, sharing the dressing. What's your advice to getting through that and making sure that the things that are important, the family, the love that you share with your family and friends, stays the priority over the diversity in political thought?
So prepare, and then prepare a little bit more. I think one of the things that you've already done is that great song you played by Johnny Cash. Perfect. If we just followed what he was saying, that would be so helpful. One of the things that I talk to people about is the importance of gratitude and how it really does reframe and reshape the lens through which we not only see other people, but the world. So if you know you're going to step into these places where things might get a little dicey, and of course, always if the wine's flowing, you have to worry a little bit more maybe, but in these places where you know these things are going to happen, just prepare. Prepare your mind, prepare your heart. Remind yourself before you walk in of who is in this place that you're going into. Think about what are the things that you are grateful for each of those people. You can sit in the car. You can do this before you leave your house to go to their house. I will often tell people if you go later in the day or in the evening, it's good to do some things in the morning or even the night before that really fill your cup and just remind you of the things that you have to be grateful for. And also to be in that place where you're willing to give and to be open and to hear. It's really important to recognize that we're looking at a person, not an issue. And so when it's someone we love and we've done life with them and they're part of our family and we don't align with their politics, we don't align with their beliefs, sometimes it can help to take a step back, take a breath, and recognize that where they're coming from isn't a place of malice. Oftentimes a place that they're coming from is maybe a place of fear, or a place of their belief system being twisted or confused with something else. And so we just want to try to avoid finger pointing, name calling, the big battle over who's right, who's wrong. And I think that deflecting and changing the subject is a great way to do that as well. You can say things like, I hear you, and then change the subject. That's a very simple, that is an I agree with you. Yeah. That is I hear you. And I hear you is another way of saying I see you. And when somebody feels seen and feels heard, that is very disarming. It can sort of bring down the tone in the room and help people feel a little bit more accepted and understood, even if we don't agree.
Licensed professional counselor and author Gina Birkmeyer with us right now. I wrote that word down. I wrote down the word diffuse. To diffuse the situation, that there are people in everybody's family, and I, like as I just said before, some of the you know, the air quotes, those people are listening right now, and they know who they are, and they know who the other person is on the other side of the aisle. Maybe it's nonverbal. Maybe you show up with the political slogan on the T-shirt or the hat or whatever it might be. I think that when somebody says something that's politically charged, our immediate understanding is to feel attacked. Like that is the go-to, is to put up a defense and to feel personally attacked. Is it possible that somebody can believe something entirely different than we do? Is it possible that while they believe something entirely different than we do and they feel it's very important that they understand that I know that they believe something different, is it possible to put yourself in a mindset where I just don't feel personally attacked by it?
I think it is possible. I think it's challenging, but I think it's possible. It goes back to two things. One that I said earlier about looking at the person rather than the issue. So really trying to see the why rather than the what, I think that can be very helpful. And again, reminding yourself of the relationship you have with that person and really recognizing that like your own held beliefs, our beliefs that we hold, we don't hold them for the purpose of malice or harming another, right? We hold them because they're what we believe. We believe that they're good. We believe that they're true. We believe that they're helpful. We don't hold them for the purpose of malice. So most often the other person is holding perhaps different beliefs, but for the very same reasons. So even if we can look at the common ground of this person believes in their heart and in their mind that what they are holding on to is of value and important. And I'd like to stay away from this word, but in their mind, it is what is right. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can validate the person and we can validate their heart without having to say that we agree with what it is that they believe or what they don't believe.
Yeah, I think that's such good advice. And I think that, you know, you were talking about doing things to fill your cup ahead of time. Sometimes mm-hmm. when holidays are upon us, you know, if you're the person who's in the kitchen all day, all you're doing is emptying your cup. You're making sure that everybody else's cup is going to be filled, most literally, at the right time. everything is perfectly cooked and warm and served just as you intended. And if anything goes wrong, it can, you know, you try so hard and you're trying to succeed and you're trying. A lot of people use this as a love language to show the people in their life that they care so much. Somebody comes in and says the wrong thing at the wrong time or wears the wrong thing at the wrong time. And so it goes south. How do you recover? Because inevitably things are going to go south. How do you how do you say, okay, that sucked. That was not the way that was supposed to go. What do you do next to get it back on track?
Well, so I think that there, really quick, I just want to say that I think there's some things you can do to prepare to maybe help mitigate the probability of that happening. So perhaps it's that you're going to have some things that are going to occupy people's time and conversation. Maybe you have some sort of like bowl that has some fun conversation starters that are very benign. Maybe you have some activities that you're all going to do together. As far as the kitchen thing, get everybody in there helping as much as you can. I think that can be something that draws us together rather than pulls us apart. You can create a Thanksgiving tablecloth that is a tarp and have everybody writing on it what it is that they're thankful for and who it is that they're thankful for. You can have people go around and talk about what it is that they're thankful for with regard to one another. Mm-hmm. But I think if we do have a lapse, if we do have a bump and it's kind of a rocky start, I do think that it's okay to redirect the conversation into a different vein or pull a person aside. There is nothing wrong with that. And just say, remind them gently of what it is that they're there to do, which is connect with one another on common ground of love and family, not on uncommon ground, and trying to bring everybody back into that space of common ground and that mutual respect and love for one another, whether we agree with each other or not.
So, Gina, where can people go to check out your book? You've had a lot of success with it so far, and we want to make sure people understand, because I know that you have a faith element to what you have put together as a licensed professional counselor and author, and I want to make sure people have access to that. Where can they go?
Thanks. So the easiest place to go would be to generationsdeep.com. And they can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at My Out Loud Voice.
That's fantastic.
On Instagram and Facebook, yes.
Okay. Generations Deep, Unmasking Inherited Dysfunction and Trauma to Rewrite Our Stories Through Faith and Therapy. Gina Birkmeyer, thank you so much for being with us today and for having this conversation with us as people prepare their holiday meals that are coming up and family gatherings. It's a very important conversation to have out loud, and we're glad that you had it with us.
Thanks so much. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You as well. Gina Birkmeyer there. Go check her out, and we will post the link. That's generationsdeep.com if you want to learn more. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to see if Ryan Wiggins wants to come in here and do his Wiggins America that we just blew over with a song that was by Chickens. So, I mean, you never know what you're going to get on the Annie Fry Show. It was a really great song. And this is a really great song, too. Like, I had never heard this before. But it's Johnny Cash. Take it in. We're going to take a break. Listen to Johnny Cash and get yourself in the mood to celebrate Thanksgiving with the things that are the most important. We'll be right back.
To join hands and thank the Creator. Now when Thanksgiving is due, and this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
God, for this Thanksgiving Day.
Who sings this song?
Taylor Swift.
Says Ben Rector on the...
Ben Rector, yeah. I was thinking Matt Redman. I'm like, I don't think that's right. This is such a cool music video. I'm going to show you guys the music video on the break because it's just so neatly done. But I love Ben Rector. I think he's very talented. And I was just looking for Thanksgiving songs. I'm like, I want to listen to... Who knew? There's a million Christmas songs, which we could be playing right now.
What is your definition of a Thanksgiving song? Does it have to say Thanksgiving?
That song is called a Thanksgiving song.
Well, that one seems
which
like
is,
it would make
here's
it.
Here's the funny thing. What's my definition of a Thanksgiving song? I was like looking through songs about being thankful. Like I played Travis Tritt because he's great. First of all, A, Travis Tritt is amazing. And B, it's a great day to be alive because it's kind of like the thing, right? So I thought, yeah, it's not like it doesn't have literally the words thank you in it. That song, Dido's Thank You.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you.
Yeah.
That song sucks. I mean, I like it for what it is, but it's not like, just because
it's
a
not
going to
be on the Annie Fry
It doesn't
show.
Qualify.
Okay.
I got a text here or a tweet from Susie Moore. She said, I love the music you're playing today.
Susie, hi, Susie. Ooh, that reminds me. She writes for Red State, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, guys.
Yeah, she does. We both know it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have been asked to participate in the Red State VIP.
That stands for very important person, Annie.
Is it because you won a Gracie?
Shut up.
Or two. Do
you
have to get two
went in
to
a little
in?
Too hard on the Gracie thing yesterday, which is a total lie.
Wait till tomorrow.
Oh, shoot. When I'm not in and you're hosting. It's just going to be all Ryan going, and Annie keeps talking about Gracie all the time, and she makes it shiny in my face. Like, the things that you
and it'll just be me over here by the board with my hands in my face. Like, what is he doing?
Where are you going here?
I have never asked anybody to talk about the Gracie ever.
You don't have to ask people.
But you hand people a rag to
Shut
polish it
up.
Whenever
I
they
don't.
Walk in your door.
I don't.
You don't say anything.
On the record, I will say, look, this is just me on the webcam. Just me talking to a room. No,
about your awards.
I am not conceited. This is not all about me. But Brian, whoops. Sorry about that, guys.
And I'm still not on it.
Yes, you are.
Now it's just Brad and you.
No, it is not.
He's a little behind.
There we are.
Yeah,
I'm welcome. Gonna lag.
They wanted to do like a thing here during the awards, and I was like, please don't. And then there, Megan Lynch, KMOX. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did.
Wait, what? One. What? Mm-hmm. Red State wants to do what with you?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with it. We just got started talking about the Gracie, and I can't shut up about it now.
Clearly.
I'm spending so much time talking about how I don't talk about my Gracie. If I were you and you were me, I'd be tearing you apart right now.
We're just going to replay this segment. We're just going to cut together all the times you mention your Gracie. And I won't say anything. People will think, oh my gosh, Annie's hosting? And she will not shut up about that.
On Wednesday night, we have a show on Red State VIP. And they asked me to be a part of it. So at 7 p.m., I am going to be a part of the VIP Gold Live chat. And I'm there going to be their special guest.
Oh, that's cool.
That's great. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Do you get hardware from doing that?
No. I end up working on my night off. And I understand this. I get it. It's the party night. It's the night before Thanksgiving. They couldn't find anybody else. But I've never done it before, so I'm going to do it.
Look, Susie, if you're listening right now, or anybody from Red State, grab this whole segment and use it as Annie's intro for
Please
that event.
Pretend this never happened. But I did want to tell people that. It's the Red State VIP Gold live chat, and I was asked to be a part of it, and I am excited to be a part of it and proud for the show that they asked me, which means they asked us, you and me, the listener, to have a presence there. I think that's cool.
That's that is great. Super cool. Let's keep talking about this instead of doing Louisiana's America.
You're so mad. You're so upset.
I thought that was a good spot for him to just drop, boom.
It
but
was.
When he didn't, I just
But when he didn't, we just had to go sort of.
I'm sitting here with the mouse hovering over in it.
7 p.m. Central.
Central. Okay.
P.m.
Okay, not 7 in the morning.
From the home studio or wherever I happen to be at that time. I don't know if they told me that it could be like, since it's behind the paywall, they're like, it could get really rowdy. And then I watched the last one and somebody said something about gosh darn da da da. And I was like, ooh.
Whoa, gosh darn.
This is my kind of rowdy.
Wow. Well, I'll be watching for sure.
No, you won't.
And I'll just be the whole time being like, oh my gosh, I know her. How did we get here? Wow. Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins. Now that's a well-placed drop there, Brad. You guys been following the Women's Tennis Association?
That's all I paid attention to.
I figured. That's why I led with it. You guys been paying attention, right?
Can we talk about how fast, like Olympic fast, Brad peed in the
No,
break?
We can't. It's up to Brad.
No.
With one commercial left, he said, I got to
go to the bathroom.
And we were like, wow, this is going to be incredible. And he did it.
I don't know if you actually physically made it to the bathroom.
I'll never tell.
Can we tell?
I will never tell.
Olympic tennis team?
You've been paying attention, Annie?
Tons.
Darn right you
it's
have.
It's all I pay attention to.
Well, this is a fascinating story. I'm going to try to cram it in here.
I always like when you pick the fascinating stories.
So 3 weeks ago, this Olympic tennis player from China named Peng Shuai.
Way more fascinating.
She is a Wimbledon champion, and she's won the French Open in doubles, so she's very good.
Talented.
Very talented tennis player. She is part of the Women's Tennis Association, but she, 3 weeks ago, made a claim against a Chinese official that somebody within, pretty high up in the government, had sexually harassed her.
You don't do that against the Chinese.
You certainly don't, or you get disappeared. And that is what's been happening to Peng Shuai. She has, for about 2 weeks, gone completely off the grid. Nobody knew what happened to her. The only organization basically looking out for her at all has been the Women's Tennis Association, which is not based in China. They have done the exact opposite of what the NBA has done and called out every possible chance they get, which they don't have as big of a platform as the NBA does. They have been calling this out and saying this is inappropriate. We demand to know where she is. Mm-hmm. We demand to know that she's safe and that she hasn't been hurt or basically killed. Well, the story now is that she, as of just the last couple days, I think this may, depending on the time, you know, China's in a different little time than we are, but either yesterday or the day before, she appeared on a video conference with the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee. But it was apparently not a great look. She was like, hello, yes, I'm good. Everything's fine. So that could have given, here's what's cool about this story, that could have given the Women's Tennis Association enough cover to say, okay, you did your part, we did our part, we'll move on now. Because she's alive. They said absolutely not.
Could they prove it was live and current?
Well, I think they did enough to prove that, you know, it's current. This wasn't taped a long time ago or something. Because there's been claims of that, too. They got video of her walking around signing autographs. And people are like, that could have come at any time. So the Women's Tennis Association has said, no, that's not enough. Here's where it gets even better. CNN, of all people. Have you seen this?
Well, I'm glad I didn't scoop you. Go ahead.
They reported on it, and they did a live feed. It was awesome.
That's what I was going to.
It was awesome.
I was going to say, did you see the scene? But
It was so good. They reported live on this, and they kept in the corner of the screen a live feed of what CNN looked like in China. And the minute they started talking about it, it went to bars.
Color bars.
Color bars. So they
Which
were.
They said in the coverage, they're like, it used to just go to black screen. They've upgraded to color bars.
Color bars. Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I as just as an American, I was proud of American journalism.
Yeah, for CNN for exposing what China is actually doing. Because the second they go to criticize China, China says, no, you do not. And they keep it from the Chinese people. And they were talking in that coverage about how big of an operation the censorship system and structure in China is to make sure that none of that stuff falls through the cracks.
And it was so good for them because not only did they decide to report on this story, which they didn't have to, but they said, no, we're going to report on it and we're going to double down and show you what China's not showing you.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that they're doing that. And I love that the Women's Tennis Association, it's so weird to watch dictatorships. They get so nervous because they have such control over their own countries and the messaging that goes on within their state, but they have no control over a free press. Now, you can debate whether we're a free press still, but for the most part, you know, voices like us exist, and we say things that others are not willing to, and we don't go to jail for it. That's a free press. CNN is acting like a free press right now. And it's very encouraging to see, and it's very encouraging to see the Women's Tennis Association not backing down. I just think this is, it's a negative story because of what's happened to Peng Shuai, but it's a positive story for media and for American journalism.
Ben Brown, who has been on with Mark Cox quite a bit, who's the owner and the GM of Satchmo's Grill, just sent me this tweet. And I'm retweeting it right now at Annie Fry Show. Breaking, today a judge ruled in our favor, effectively ending mask and other mandates in Missouri once and for all. Earlier this year, I filed suit against Missouri DHSS along with at and STLC and challenged the authority of health departments to create law. It's finally over, folks. Freedom wins. Retweeting at Annie Fry Show. We'll have more when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.